Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, David Halperin, obviously I gave some fuzz factors there that maybe they did know each other before and didn't realize it. They encountered each other during the course of being interested in UFOs. That could have happened. But otherwise, it does put a wrench into these theories.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say it is baffling. It is perplexing.
Well, not if you go with what you were saying there, though, about the idea of a collective unconscious. It, depending on just how, I guess, how detailed that collective unconscious experience is, then it's sort of like telepathy almost. Everybody's mind is out there in this place where they can meet one another. And it, if you happen to retain that information like you might from a waking dream and come back from that, then why shouldn't the information match up?
Well, does this presuppose telepathy?
Technically speaking, it kind of fits the description. I mean, a collective unconscious would be a telepathic communication between everybody else at a subconscious level.
Yeah, I don't think necessarily, at least the way I understand the collective unconscious, that it's a sort of wiring that we all inherit in our brains to come up with, that leads us to come up with certain archetypal images, certain archetypal stories, one of these images being the mandala, the circle, which is not a great shape for aerodynamic travel, but is an excellent shape for a psychic projection of wholeness.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I've taken this collective unconscious idea to a completely different level than you have. So for you, then, it's more like an imprint in each individual that exists below our conscious threshold that is kind of hardwired into us in a way that manifests itself in a conscious way in these various archetypes. Whereas I'm looking at it as a collective in the sense that it's like a group experience. It's not at that level. It's a group experience. It's not an individual experience. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the most baffling case, really, is the miracle of the sun at Fatima, Portugal, in October 1917, where a crowd of something like 70,000 sees the sun fall to Earth. Now, what is excluded is that what they saw actually happened, since we all know the sun cannot possibly fall to Earth. Now, how is it that that crowd all sees it? And I don't know.
I guess most simply put, if we think of our brain then as a computer, right, then for me, I was looking at collective unconsciousness as we're all networked on an unconscious level. For you, it's like, no, we're not all networked on an unconscious level, but we all have similar programming that kicks in at an unconscious level.
Yeah.
Interesting. This is a kind of a new revelation to me in the way of looking at collective unconscious.
Yeah, which I don't think will explain Fatima, and maybe I will have to accept your understanding of it if I want to do that. I have to tell you why I'm so reluctant to go with telepathy, and that is I cannot conceive, given that really top-notch scientific minds for at least 150 years have been trying to demonstrate in the laboratory the existence of telepathy. I cannot conceive that after that long time, it would still be a subject of controversy if, in fact, it were real. Now, I know there are some top-notch researchers like Dean Radin who have done extremely careful experiments and think that these demonstrate the existence of telepathy as an extremely faint force, as long as it's not augmented by trauma. And I respect their work, but I keep coming back to, surely it could have been, it would have been demonstrated by this time if it were real.
We would think so. And yet there's, it's sort of like the UFO phenomenon itself, in that we should be able to do the same thing with it. And yet it seems to be eluding us on that level as well. I mean, we get these hints and these trace cases, but, you know, where's that real craft? You know, it hasn't landed there so that we can go and have a tour of it. And it's so, yeah. And the other thing is that if this telepathy or this communication, this networking is taking place on a subconscious level, we'll never get a conscious set of, you know, something to look at consciously and objectively. That evidence just will never happen. We might get something out of an MRI that says something is going on in people's brains, and we do have that, but we don't know that that correlates for sure to the experience of having some sort of telepathic communication. So it's kind of like the evidence, getting the objective evidence, negates itself because of the way that the situation is.
What I hear you saying is that the tools that we have to try to establish telepathy cannot do that, cannot achieve that because of the way they're designed. Am I hearing you right?
Well, sort of. I mean, if we're talking about telepathy as a subconscious, in terms of the collective unconscious being sort of like a subconscious networking of our minds, if it's subconscious, we can never consciously experience it. It precludes itself from conscious evaluation, right? And the only way we can experience it is subconsciously, unless you have these times, these sort of rare times that we can't seem to control very well, where it's like a lucid dreaming experience or something, where it just bubbles to the surface and we have this moment or this flash, or there's some way of accessing it that we don't yet understand.
I'm open to that. I'm open to that.
I mean, you've probably never experienced anything telepathic, I guess, but I have in the past. This is really interesting. I don't talk about this a lot, but I've had one of those archetypal experiences where it was literally like the voice of God coming down from the mountain. And it was definitely as real as everything else. I was completely awake. I was under no influence of any kind of mind-altering substances or anything. I was young and healthy and had my wits about me. And it was one of the most amazing experiences I have ever had. And it wasn't as if this voice in this case that was speaking to me was simply in my head. It felt as though it was all around me and filled the forest as well. It was really quite amazing.
Okay, I've had at least one amazing experience too, which I can tell you about.
Oh, please do.
But let's stick with yours for a moment. Is there anything in that experience that would necessarily require anything beyond the conventional scientific understanding of the human body and mind?
I don't think so, but I mean, I think neuroscientists might disagree. They may say that, you know, there may have been some random, unexplained chemical basis for the way that my neurons behave that caused me to have this particular kind of an experience, just like maybe some people that do DMT do or something else.
Let's do our break here. We've got
David, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, so if we use the filter differently, you can sound like one of those system lord creatures with the glowing eyes on Stargate SG-1. Any case, Randall, go on to continue to interpret that experience you're telling us about.
Yeah, David had asked if there was any aspect about my experience that couldn't be explained in conventional ways. And, you know, all I can say is that the brain is a very interesting and complex thing that even neuroscientists don't fully understand. But I imagine that they would say that this happens somehow on a neurological level. But I don't think any of them could explain it. I've tried, I've looked. I think there was some external cause. I don't believe it was purely internal. I think there was a causal factor to this that was objective and external to myself. And at the time, I believed in God for years after that. I believed I could communicate with this entity for quite some time, and until eventually continuing to do other research and looking at it in a way that, due to the discussion I had with this entity, if you can call it that, led me to the conclusion that it wasn't God. That's where we got into our talk earlier about the whole idea of deification. And it's kind of ironic that this experience that led me to believe in God was actually the same experience that talked me out of the belief in God.
I'd be interested if you could go over that a little bit more.
Well, we had a discussion. Like, I was by myself, of course. I was out in the middle of nature in Glacier National Park. And there's some background to this I'm not sure I want to get into.
Okay.
The details of that, but it had to do with, and you would probably appreciate this, me at the time thinking that I would, okay, I'll just say this. I don't know. I've never done this before on the air, but I was contemplating suicide because I'd figured that I had lived a really good life up to that point. I couldn't think of any reason to keep on living. I wasn't entirely sad. I wasn't depressed or anything like that. I just thought, you know, the biggest problem with the world is people. There's too many of them, and I've had a good life. The biggest favor I could do the planet right now is to just disappear and go back and become one with nature.
One thing, Randall, how old were you when this happened?
I was in my early 20s.
Okay. All right, so you were at 22, 23?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a time for one to consider offing themselves. Now, you consider this, obviously you're still here.
Yes.
I think.
And, yeah, well, that's a whole other question, too, because the universe is a pretty interesting place. But the point is here is that, you know, I wasn't doing this out of any self-pity or loathing or sadness or anything else. In fact, I was quite happy about the decision. And it was that day I was going to go up to one of the glaciers and I was going to, you know, kind of slide down into a crevasse somewhere and kind of, you know, become frozen. And in my mind, I thought, well, maybe I'll come out in, you know, in a couple of hundred years, like, you know, in a block of ice and they'll thaw me out and I'll be like, you know, one of those things you see on the cover of the Weekly World News.
Or you might become Buck Rogers.
Exactly. Something like this, right? And so, you know, this was just how I was looking at it. And I was saying up to the universe, you know, if there is a God, well, I don't know. But, you know, if there is one, I'll be happy to see you soon because this was the plan. And that's when it happened. Everything in the forest went silent, first of all.
Oh, wow.
And then everything started to glow with kind of an aura around it, a slight aura, like every leaf on every tree, everything around me started to glow slightly. It was daytime, right? So then this voice that seemed to come from everywhere, and that's what I mean. It wasn't just in my head. It seemed to come from everywhere and go completely through me as well as around me, just said, you don't have to do that. And that's when I started the conversation with it. And so I know that to people this is going to sound like way out there and that I'm just making this up, but I swear every word of this is true. And it was one of the most amazing experiences that I have ever had. And so I asked, well, you know, the first thing was like, God, right? Like, am I talking with God? And it just said, well, you can call me that. It didn't confirm or deny. And
wow.
And I said, well, what do you mean I don't have to do that? And which church should I go to? I mean, now that I know that there's a God, which religion should I follow? I guess I better start going to church. And that this voice said, it's not important what church you go to. It's only important that you take the good from life and apply it wherever you find it. And so we have this conversation that went on like that. By the end of it, it left me, well, alive, for one thing, and contemplating the rest of the conversation. But by looking at that first statement in that it just says, well, it's not important which church you go to. It's more important that you take the good from life wherever you find it. I started thinking, well, what does that mean? What is the good? What is good from life? And why is it not necessary to go to a church? And after a while, it all started to shake down. Well, this idea of God then is based on the principle of goodness, and therefore God cannot be exempt from the rule of goodness. And this is what we started out with at the beginning of the show. As soon as God does something evil, he's no longer God, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So this is where the whole concept of a deity started to dissolve for me.
That I have still not understood. I could see why the experience would convince you that there was a deity, but how would it undermine your belief in a deity?
Because it brought me to the realization that we don't have to deify anything in order to find the good in the world.
Ah, so that the voice was, forgive me if I distort anything and correct me, the voice was a revelatory entity that told you that the good in the world is the prime, let us say, object of devotion. And
absolutely,
God becomes an irrelevancy.
Well, it wasn't that God's, or, you know, in this, I'm calling it God, or the voice, the entity, whatever this was, the experience. It's not that this experience was irrelevant in any way, shape, or form. Like I say, it's one of the most powerful experiences I have ever had. I am certain, therefore, that I cannot be the only person in history who has ever had some kind of experience like this that has led me through the extraordinary nature of it to believe in an entity and call it God. Because for many years afterwards, I did believe it. And I would say to people, yeah, there's a God I know. I've talked to it. So it's...
Anyway, let's break. More to come with Randall, Gene, and David. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States set a new record Saturday administering more than 2.9 million COVID vaccinations. Now nearly 88 million Americans have received at least one dose of coronavirus vaccine. Some states have begun to expand their vaccination programs. In Connecticut, all residents 45 and older will begin to be able to receive the shot starting in 2 weeks. Dr. Marty McCary is a professor at Johns Hopkins University, that with vaccination programs accelerating, the U.S. is working its way towards herd immunity.
You know, we're doing spectacular with the vaccination program. We've broken through all the goals, vaccinating 2.5 million doses yesterday were administered, and today we hit hit a record. 2.9 million doses were administered. We've got about 22% of the U.S. adult population vaccinated. In some parts of the country, it's like Alabama and New Mexico. It's one in four adults now have received at least one dose. So we're doing pretty well.
This is USA Radio News. Texas Governor Greg Abbott is taking on big tech political censorship. John Clemens reports from the USA Radio News Texas Bureau.
The legislation would help prohibit social media companies from censoring the viewpoints expressed by Texans.
Conservative speech will not be canceled in the state of Texas. We need to recognize in Texas, maybe in particular in Texas, we see that the First Amendment is under assault by these social media companies, and that is not going to be tolerated in Texas.
Governor Greg Abbott also said websites like Facebook and Twitter have evolved into a modern-day public square, but said those platforms have begun controlling the flow of information. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis proposed a similar measure last month, introducing a bill that would fine tech platforms that suspended political candidates. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so let's dovetail this. You had an experience that may or may not have had some kind of religious connotation. Or could you have met up with ET somewhere along the line, or whatever force causes UFOs, if it is external to us? Therefore, you being a contactee.
Exactly. So I started thinking, well, what, I don't have to deify then this being. It's, you know, and then it dawned on me when I said, well, you can call me that if you want, right? And I think this was kind of like, Gene, you've mentioned this before, where it was communicating with me in a way that at that stage in my life, it was sort of the easiest way for me to understand what was going on. And since then, I've done a lot of maturing, and I came to the place where, okay, this is an entity or a being. It doesn't necessarily have to be given the title of God, but it's certainly something that is very extraordinary and exists in the world. And therefore, technically, this is something that is alien to most people. It very well could be some kind of an alien. I don't know what or where from, whether it was, you know, one that was from another star system that had these telepathic powers, and this is where it all comes back to this conversation about telepathy before, and this is an experience I had where this is no doubt that this occurred. So I'm not sure where else we can go with that, but maybe we should just continue with your – I think I've stolen the show here. Sorry, David.
On the contrary, you've given me certainly, and certainly the listeners, a very great gift, and I'm very grateful to you for having shared that. I do have certain responses, and I don't know if you want to hear them.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, number one, start from the end, that what you perceived was something that was in some way alien, not you. Is that correct?
Definitely something external to me, causal. I've got to say, too, and I think that this is really important during this pandemic with so many people out there and the rise in suicides. And because this was an experience that happened to me, maybe I was meant to describe this situation now because of a lot of this. But remember back when I said that the first thing it said is, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And its response was immediately when I asked, I said, why not? And it said, you're more valuable alive. And the truth of that struck me all the way through. It went completely through me because I knew that it was true. If we take a human being and reduce us down to our constituent parts and minerals, we don't add up to much. But together and working and alive, we can do amazing things just simply by being alive and contributing to society, just by doing something as simple as going to the grocery store and buying groceries. We contribute to our economy and help provide work for other people. We can become a source of inspiration just simply by being alive. Have faith in your life. But back to your question. Sorry, what was it again, David?
Well, it was that. Okay, well, I'll tell you where I'm driving with this, which is that I think what is essential in the UFO tradition, not only in 1947 and the following, but in the biblical encounters like the one that I keep dwelling on is Ezekiel's, the sense that this is something alien, something that will not fit conventional categories. And in the 20th and 21st centuries, the only template we have for what will not fit conventional categories is something extraterrestrial, which is itself a conventional category, but it's the best way we can find of envisioning the alien, envisioning the other, and therefore we say UFOs are ETs. We say Ezekiel encountered ETs. I don't think either is necessary, or that you encountered an ET. What is clear is that you encountered an other with a capital O.
Or I had the experience that I did. Whatever the reason is, to me it seemed like it was something external. It was real. It was independent of myself, something I could have a conversation with that didn't seem like it was just my own mind talking back to me.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, maybe it was, and this, I haven't written this out, there's some sort of an advanced self-preservation, self-defense mechanism that kicked in to compensate for this idea that I had that the world would be a better place without me in it. What I find really interesting about this is that with your ideas is that here we also have the specter of death. And this is something that, and it happened definitely within that context, facing our own mortality. It also happened in a way that was completely self-sacrificial. In other words, this is not because I was, you know, in a lot of fear or I had lost anyone or any sadness or anything else. I was actually doing this to sacrifice myself for the betterment of the world. And you know that you know, in religious history that this is a theme. I don't want to compare myself, you know, to other deities, but this is a theme that sacrificing oneself for the betterment of others and
yeah.
Against the context of one's own mortality has led people to have these experiences. So I find that all really quite extraordinary. And so maybe there is something to what you're saying because it's a commonality there. Maybe someone else, instead of having that kind of experience as I did, would all of a sudden see a craft in the sky.
Yeah, sure. And,
you know, like, so I can't entirely write it off.
The mandala, if Jung is right, is the symbol of the integration of opposites. There are many, many situations in which our dilemmas demand that we take things which appear to be opposites and bring them together. I keep thinking of those lines from Schiller, which Beethoven put to magnificent music in the Ninth Symphony. Your magic binds together that which custom strictly divides. And that, to me, is in many cases the magic of the UFO. I don't know that that quite applies to your situation, but it has a common factor in that that voice, that I'll call it an entity with a capital E, that entity tells you, told you exactly what you needed to hear and exactly what the world for which you've done so much good needed for you to hear.
Well, then again, you know, my analytical mind many years later thinks, okay, so we were talking with Martin Willis not long ago, who said that one of the people he talked to and he had asked, well, why are they here? What are they doing with Earth, referring to the aliens or these entities, whatever they are? Or maybe we're dealing with two different things. But he said that Earth, or we're like an experiment, a petri dish is what he said. Now, I think that's probably an exaggeration. I think we're a lot more complex than bacteria, and that whatever they are, they probably aren't that far advanced away from us as we are from bacteria. But the idea is that if they're advanced enough, that our world, perhaps even our universe, is some sort of an experiment, then having the subjects of that experiment arbitrarily end their life would be detrimental to the experiment and therefore make us more valuable alive.
We've got more to come. Gene, David, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Of course, in general, if one wants to be cynical, that life doesn't seem to have much value these days at all. We've got billions of people, and maybe some want to say, let's just get rid of a few leftovers or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bit of a paradox there, isn't there, David? I mean, you know, while human beings are amazing, we're also one of the biggest problems for the nature on the planet, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, we are a problem, and we are. This is not quite the same as the biblical paradox that humanity is a little bit less than God, as the psalmist says. But also that we are dust, and to dust shall we return. That's our paradox. We are dust. We are meat. We are rot and stink. And yet we are rational, sentient beings who are capable of love. And whenever anybody says, well, we, you know, so many people can just, might as well just die, we intuitively recoil from this, that it's a horrible anti-human sentiment.
Well, this gets into philosophy and, you know, like the trolley problem. And death is something that we have to face, and trying to weigh our decisions based on whether a few should die now to prevent the deaths of more later, that's got to be a really hard decision. Trying to weigh all of those things is very difficult, but at some point, I think that we do have to face the fact that, well, people do die, and it's probably more important that we not only try to save the people that we can immediately, but that we think about those who are going to be impacted in the future about the decisions we make in the now.
No, these are very difficult questions, and I want to come back from them to your experience and share another response that I had, which is that the silence of the natural world. I assume that first there were the sounds of birds chirping, cicadas and whatnot. Am I imagining it wrong?
There was the typical sounds of a forest, including the sound of a brook off in somewhat in the distance, the leaves, the wind. And, of course, here we're dealing with symbolism, the wind in the tree. It's definitely some birds. Just there's all kinds of sounds out in the forest. There might seem like a quiet place if you're not paying attention, but when you do, And so when it's gone, when it suddenly stops, it's noticeable.
I mean, that to me suggests what Jenny Randles used to call the Oz factor in UFO experiences. And
Definitely.
And also the experiences, which I think are still ongoing, of the young people who have visions of the Virgin at Medjugorje in what used to be Yugoslavia. I think it's now Croatia, where, I mean, this combines a number of problems. One is that these young people, when they see the Virgin, their eyes seem to be fixed on the same spot, as though they're seeing something that they're all seeing the same thing that's physically present outside them, yet no one else is able to see it. And that when these visions go on, the birds are silent. And I posted on this, and I got a response from one reader who said she was there. And yes, that is a phenomenon that she has observed, the silence of the birds.
This is such an excellent conversation. I'm so glad to have you back on the show, David. I mean, other people who've experienced similar things, that they know that there's not really a way to give it justice trying to describe it. It is like all I can say, and I've had a lot of really strange experiences in the world, but this really is up there at the top of the list. You know, maybe on one day there might be one or two that change places with it, but definitely an all-time amazing thing. And I've kept it mostly to myself because it just sounds so way out there. Like, you know, maybe as if I'm some sort of a religious nut or something, but I'm not even a religious person. I've never been a religious person. I went to Sunday school, but when I was young, and the characters in the Bible were like my first superheroes and stuff. But, you know, it's this experience was nothing like the typical thing that you would talk to a preacher about necessarily. And I've tried. And I think some of them didn't even believe me. They would just look at me like, okay, well.
No, that's, which I find very curious.
Yeah,
I just as interesting as the story itself.
Well, I did too. You know, I thought that if anything, these are the people that would want to hear it. And yet they were the ones who were the most skeptical and disinterested and sort of denying that I'd had an experience that had anything to do with their particular God. And so maybe that was part of that, you know, it's not important which church you go to. Well, if you're talking to someone in a church, that really undermines their position then, doesn't it?
Yeah, and especially if someone who is quite unchurched can encounter God.
But I think wouldn't a lot of people, and it must have had to start somewhere. I do believe people have had these experiences. Before there was a church, people were having these experiences. People are still having them. There's probably other people out there who have had similar experiences and don't want to talk about them either.
Okay, and then we circle back to my own hobby horse, which is that these things have been happening for centuries, but only in the space age do we externalize them as ETs.
Maybe that's because that's what they are. I mean, there was nothing preventing, and this, what happened to me, if these beings have the ability to put sounds into our minds, there's what's preventing them from putting images into our minds as well. They could have some sort of cloaked ship up there and be beaming all this directly into people's minds selectively so that some people see them and experience it and other people don't. And I'm thinking that sounds almost crazier than the idea of God, but really, I mean, we've got technology that can do very similar things already. We can selectively beam sounds into people's heads from a distance And we've got active camouflage that can make things like, you know, for the military is using them, that can disguise machinery to look like the background. And if you can make it look like the background, you can make it look like anything. So I'm thinking, why couldn't it be something interstellar, and they just have a technology that's able to do all this?
But let me ask you a question here before David chimes in. But at what scale is this being done? I can see if they're doing this here and there every so often, and they have some reason either to do some kind of psychological testing of those primitive earthlings, or for whatever purpose that we do not understand because we're dealing with alien beings that may differ from us in ways we cannot imagine. But as I said, maybe on a small scale, yeah, that would possibly make sense. But at what scale do we see this happening? If we're seeing thousands of UFO cases per year, does it mean they're all over the place running their holographic machines and they're doing all this stuff and monitoring how we react? At some point in time, they would have gotten enough information to say, okay, now we know how Earthlings react. Let us go on to step two, whatever that's going to be, rather than repeat step one over and over and over and over again, or forget this crazy planet and go somewhere else and repeat the routine. So that's the question of logic here. If it is ET with holographic images, at one point, have they done what they intended to do? At what point do they move on to do something else in their lives? Good question. David Halperin joining us. He has some fascinating columns at davidhalperin.net, including UFOs and the Bible. With Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The pet industry saw nearly $99 billion in sales in 2020, and pet food accounted for about $38.4 billion in sales. This vibrant market keeps growing, and you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free research report from Avid Market Traders. Text PET to 48542. We've discovered that a potential multi-billion dollar growth opportunity has tails wagging over a company that incorporates functional pet food ingredients that offer proven health benefits for pet owners around the world. And that means hyper growth in the market for domestic and international pet owners. If you're a pet owner, text the word PET to 48542 to get this red-hot market intelligence delivered to your mobile device. Text PET to 48542 for your free research from Avid Market Traders. Get the best for your investment strategy and for your pet when you text PET to 48542.